welcome to Alt Universe Top 40. My name is John McMullen. For the next hour, we will listen to some records, talk about chart positions, and make some good-hearted adjustments that time and taste demand. On today's installment, we will hear a song that was one of John Lennon's last production projects before his retirement. Based on some of the personnel involved and the legendary stories that continue to surround those sessions, it is a wonder that any releasable material was recorded at all. For our little slice of heaven at number 7, we will hear one of the signature songs by the very first blues musician to reach the pop charts in the United States. Later, for our 3 from way downtown, we will hear from the band that a retired John Lennon listed as his favorite group in 1979, a new wave band that inspired him to return to recording in 1980. Finally, for our Hall of Perfection track, we will appreciate a synthesizer song that was declared a hit record by its producer after he heard his co-writer play a passage made up of only 2 chords. But first, just as we do every week, we begin with a single that at some point was perched at number 40. Some of these were on the way up, some were on the way down. Some hit number 40 for a 1-week peak and then fell ill. What kind of number 40 do we have today? Well, we start with a vocalist who grew up in Malta as the son of a British naval intelligence officer. His musical style ranged from island junkanoo music to traditional pop, and especially after he moved directly across the street from Compass Point Recording Studios in Nassau, light reggae. Then he heard a stripped-down rock single by songwriter Moon Martin and decided that he could do it better.
With
the song that spent 1 week at number 40 on its way up to a peak of number 10 on the Cashbox charts, number 14 on the Billboard chart, and number 9 in Record World. That was Robert Palmer with Bad Case of Loving You, a record that became a hit through early support from WNEW New York, KFML in Denver, KOME in San Jose, and WIOQ in Philadelphia.
Alt-Universe Top 40.
Number 20.
With a song that should have reached number 20, we have a selection that comes from an album that has grown to true legendary status simply because of the chaos surrounding its backstory and the personnel involved in the recording sessions. In what might not have been the most prudent decision ever made in the name of recording efficiency, a Los Angeles beach house was rented to provide convenient accommodations to some of the wildest and hardest partying characters in rock who had been invited to play on this album. The album itself was intended to be Harry Nilsson's rock follow-up to his amazing collection of pop standards he had recorded the previous year with Frank Sinatra's arranger, Gordon Jenkins. This time around, John Lennon was the producer, and the musicians selected to play along with Nilsson during the sessions included Ringo Starr, Keith Moon, Jesse Ed Davis, Klaus Voormann, Jim Keltner, Bobby Keys, and Danny Korchmar. Amazingly, during the very first night of recording, Paul McCartney and Stevie Wonder showed up at the recording studio. Unfortunately, rather than assembling a recording for Nilsson with what would have been the most amazing backing band in history, a party-like atmosphere took over the studio and caused the sessions to break down into an unproductive jam that was less than flattering to all involved and was ultimately released only as a bootleg. As the sessions rolled on, the decision-making did not appear to improve. According to a rock legend, which was confirmed by Jimmy Webb in the documentary, Who is Harry Nilsson and Why is Everybody Talking About Him?, Lennon and Nilsson, after a night out on the town, went out onto the beach and engaged in a screaming contest, which, sadly, resulted in the rupturing of one of Nilsson's vocal cords. Nevertheless, even through all that well-documented drinking and carousing, there was one moment on that album where the craziness subsided and a recording treasure emerged. The magic finally happened on a Nilsson original called Don't Forget Me. To me, it was John Lennon's finest moment as a producer, as he captured the mood of regret and disappointment perfectly.
In the wintertime,
thank you.
song that was practically ignored by RCA Records and never released as a single. That was Nilsson and his original composition, Don't Forget Me, recorded in 1974.
This one went to 11.
My name is John McMullen, and you are listening to Alt Universe Top 40. Now we are up to a song that really did hit number 11. And not only did this song hit number 11, but it kept going all the way to number 1. It actually hit number 1 in the United States, in South Africa, and in the artist's home country of Canada. And it reached number 12 on the country survey in the United States.
I can see her lying back in her satin dress, in a room where you do what you don't confess. Sundown, you better take care, if I find you've been creeping round my back stairs. Sundown, you better take care, sailor's dream, and she don't always say what she really means. Sometimes I think it's a shame when I get feeling better when I'm feeling no pain. Sometimes I think it's a shame when I get feeling better when I'm feeling no pain. Picture every move that a man could make. Getting lost in her loving is your first mistake.
Sundown, you better take care, if I find you've been creeping round my back stairs. Sometimes I think it's a sin when I feel like I'm winning when I'm losing again.
Cashbox and Record World charts. That was Gordon Lightfoot and his song inspired by his then girlfriend, Kathy Smith, Sundown. The Headboys were a five-man rock act formed in 1977 in Edinburgh, Scotland, originally recording for MCA under the name of Badger. After two unsuccessful singles, they changed their name to The Headboys, and under a new contract with RSO Records, they released an album that was produced by Peter Kerr, who had also guided recordings for The Motors and Bram Tchaikovsky. A single from that album, The Shape of Things to Come, reached number 45 on the UK singles chart. In the Netherlands, the song was a much bigger hit, peaking at number 17. In the United States, the single received enough airplay on stations such as KLOS in Los Angeles, WLPL in Baltimore, and WCCC in Hartford to hit number 25 on the Cashbox FM rotation chart.
Lightning flashes around, the prophet is screaming, his head hits the ground. You should hear the warning, if you read the signs,
with a song that should have been a worldwide top 10. Those were the Head Boys and The Shape of Things to Come.
Number nine.
Now we are up to a single that really did peak at number nine on the Billboard and Cashbox charts back in 1973. The song was called Air Ace 2, written by Juan Carlos Calderon, the same composer that did the music for the horror films Vengeance of the Zombies and Blue Eyes of the Broken Doll. When the six-person band Mocedades recorded Air Ace 2, it became Spain's entry for the Eurovision contest. While it came in a respectable second in 1973, its true legacy was its chart life that extended far beyond the contest. When it was released as a single, Air Ace 2 hit number 8 in Belgium, number 6 in Canada, number 3 in the Netherlands, and number 3 in New Zealand.
Una promesa eres tú. Eres tú como una mañana de verano, como una sonrisa eres tú, eres tú así, así eres tú. Toda mi esperanza eres tú, eres tú como lluvia fresca en mis manos. Fuerte brisa eres tú.
Singing lead for the group Mocedades with Air Ace 2, a record that peaked at number 9 on both the Billboard and Cashbox charts.
Universe Top 40!
Modern and Great should have reached number 8.
Now we are up to a song that is modern and great and should have reached number 8. And by our definition of modern, it barely comes in under the wire, having been released on January 25 of the year 2000. The song is Now You Come Back, which was originally included on the album Evergreen Boy by Meridian, Mississippi folk rocker Steve Forbert. For this album, Forbert was produced by the production genius behind Big Star's Third and Pleased to Meet Me by The Replacements, Jim Dickinson. As reviewed in March of 2000 by the folk journal of roots music No Depression, Dickinson was credited with adding, quote, his own mix of laid-back Memphis soul and experimentation to the singer's streetwise folk music, close quote. And helping Dickinson achieve that sound for Steve Forbert, a couple of musicians that we have heard before here on Alt Universe Top 40, Reese Winans on organ, and, that's right, the ever-present Jack Holder on guitar.
Well, you said goodbye, and good luck in your dear John letter. And I thought I'd die, 'cause I thought we were carved in stone. And it made me cry as I walked through the clear, cold weather. And then I dried my eyes and I tried to live in all alone. Well, the clouds piled high and the snow didn't make things better. As the time crawled by, I went down through a dark hole.
Artist who played the role of Cyndi Lauper's boyfriend in the video Girls Just Want to Have Fun, Steve Forbert. Steve comes in at number 8 with a song that was modern and great, Now You Come Back.
Alt Universe Top 40.
Now we are up to our little slice of heaven at number 7, and it is by the American blues musician that was the first blues artist to actually hit the pop charts in the United States. Willie Lee Perryman was born October 19, 1911, on a farm near Hampton, Georgia. While it is not known exactly how many brothers and sisters he had, Willie was an albino African American, and he had a brother, Rufus, who was also an albino African American. When Willie was around the age of 6, his father went to work in a factory in Atlanta, and his mother bought a piano for the 2 albino children. Because each of the albino children had poor vision that was believed to be a result of their condition, they both played piano by ear. By the mid-30s, Willie played in juke joints and pool halls throughout the South. He compensated for the lack of sound systems in these various venues by playing and singing at an extremely high volume. In Atlanta, he would often play at a white club until midnight and then play at an African-American club until around 4 in the morning. During these back-and-forth bookings, Willie took the stage name of Piano Red. He worked the clubs for 14 years until, in 1950, he recorded Rocking with Red and Red's Boogie at the studios of radio station WGST in Atlanta. RCA released the songs and both were hits. Rocking with Red hit number 5 on the Billboard R&B chart, and Red's Boogie did even better than that, reaching number 3. And both were pop hits. Once he signed a proper contract with OK Records in 1961, Willie ceased being known professionally as Piano Red. He began using the name Dr. Feelgood, a name used by one of his personas from his radio show. He even released a single called Dr. Feelgood, backed with a tune on the flip side called Mr. Moonlight, a song that was covered by the Beatles on the Beatles for Sale album. In the 60s and 70s, Willie appeared at jazz festivals, on the BBC radio, and at large venues during various European tours. He became friends with the Rolling Stones and was the inspiration of the song Piano Red that Pete Ham of Badfinger wrote. But by 1985, Willie's health began to fail. He was diagnosed with cancer and passed away that same year. Both the mayor of Atlanta and the governor of Georgia attended his funeral.
I'm going downtown, get me a rocking chair, gonna let my baby rock me on the way from here. She knows how to rock me, Lord, she sure can rock me. If you're in rock, you know just what I mean. She can rock me up, rock me down, rock me cross, Lord, she rocks me round. She knows how to rock me, she sure can rock me. If you're in rock, you know just what I mean. Let's rock, man. If you're in rock, you know just what I mean. Rock with me now.
With our little slice of heaven, that was Piano Red with his Barrel House rhythm and blues hit, Rocking with Red. Since our last broadcast, we have received messages from all around the world. Shin from Japan heard our 6070 broadcast on a remote Kiwi SDR receiver with Wyndham antenna. He reports 35443 and states that he likes overseas pop music from the late 70s and early 80s. He hopes to catch our show again in the future and hopes his reception report is helpful. Well, Shin, thank you for your report and your kind words. We wish you a wonderful week ahead and hope your reception brings you the music you like. Michelle N. from Maine heard us on Mixcloud. She classified us as a favorite and left us the comment, quote, little slice of heaven indeed, close quote. Well, Michelle, that makes us smile. Thank you for tracking us down and streaming our shortwave show the modern way. Can you hear us? If you can, please send your questions, comments, and reception reports to us in an email addressed to john@altuniversetop40.com. We would love to hear from you.
This is Alt Universe Top 40.
Number 6.
Now we are up to our bonus hit at number 6, awarded to an act that has placed at least 6 albums into the top 40 of the album charts. This act has certainly done far more than that. Back at number 20, when we played Don't Forget Me by Harry Nilsson, we told only 2 of the numerous stories that grew out of the legendary sessions that resulted in that song. Also related to those Nilsson sessions are the 3 clear photographs May Pang took of Lennon and McCartney together, which are the only known photographs of them together after the breakup of the Beatles. One shows Lennon and McCartney chatting poolside at Peter Lawford's beach house that was rented for the duration of the sessions. A second photo contains Lennon, McCartney, and Nilsson. And the third photo? It's of Lennon, McCartney, and the zany off-the-wall drummer from The Who, Keith Moon. A few years later, in 1978, Moon decided he wanted to clean up his act. He wanted to rent a London apartment that Nilsson owned while he was undergoing treatments to help curtail his drinking. Nielsen, at first, declined to rent it to Moon because Mama Cass Elliott had unfortunately died in the flat 4 years earlier, and Nielsen thought it might be cursed. But Moon's bandmate, Pete Townsend, changed Nielsen's mind, assuring him that, quote, lightning wouldn't strike the same place twice, close quote. So, Nielsen rented it to Moon, hoping the treatments would be successful. Sadly, though, after attending the London premiere of the Buddy Holly story with his girlfriend, Swedish model Annette Walter Lax, and Paul and Linda McCartney, Moon went back to that apartment and apparently took 32 tablets of a medication designed to curb his desire for alcohol. His daily limit was supposed to be 3 tablets. Lightning did, in fact, strike the same place twice. Following the death of Keith Moon, Kenny Jones of The Faces, another one of Moon's great friends, stepped in and became the drummer for The Who. After the completion of 2 soundtrack projects, The Who recorded the album Face Dances, which contained their first top 40 hit since Moon's death, You Better You Bet. The album after that, It's Hard, contained this song, a steady seller that peaked at number 68 on the Billboard Hot 100 when it was released, but has lived on through airplay as an oldie and other licensing arrangements. Hit at number 6. That was Pete Townsend, Roger Daltrey, John Entwistle, and Kenny Jones, collectively known as The Who, with Eminence Front.
Number 5.
5.
My name is John McMullen, and you are listening to Alt Universe Top 40. At number 5, we have a solo track by a vocalist that we have heard twice previously here, with the first time being several months ago when we played a track called Watch the Sunrise. Just a few weeks ago, we heard that same vocalist singing lead on a song called You Get What You Deserve. That vocalist, Alex Chilton. Today at number 5, we have a song that was produced by Alex himself and engineered and mixed by Jeff Powell. Playing along with Alex on this recording were his longtime drummer Doug Garrison and bassist Ron Easley. The horn arrangements were charted by saxophonist Jim Spake, who, by the way, also handled those jobs on the Steve Forbert album from which we played a selection a few moments ago. The background vocals on the album as a whole were credited to a group, the Jackies. On this particular track, it is believed by Jeff Powell that the Jackies consisted of Jackie Johnson, Jackie Reddick, and Susan Marshall, who, as you may recall, we featured a few shows back with her amazing cover version of Steely Dan's Dirty Work. As far as Susan's inclusion in this version of the Jackies, we will trust Jeff Powell, since he just so happens to be married to one Susan Marshall. Here is Alex Chilton.
When you whisper in my ear, tell me what I like to hear. Now and then I realize you've been telling me. Down on my knees, whisper in my little ear, tell me what I like to hear. Those lies, 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 always telling me lies, 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 lies. Tell me you love me only, and only live to love me. Please tell me, please tell me, please tell me.
With a song from the album A Man Called Destruction, that was Alex Chilton and a song that should have been a top 5 single, Lies.
Alt-Universe Top 40.
Number 4.
Now we are up to number 4, which means we are going to play a single that did considerably better in England than it did in the United States. And by considerably better, we mean that it hit number 1 in the UK, and it did well in the US, but it certainly did not hit number 1. According to the Cashbox survey, it actually hit number 4, making it appropriate to play today at number 4. But its peak was not nearly as high on the Billboard charts, where it reached number 10 and stalled there. Either way, though, this single is a favorite of mine.
Come on. writing down notes. Everybody's in despair, every girl and boy. But when Quinn the Eskimo gets here, everybody's gonna jump for joy. Come on without, come on within. You will not see nothing like the mighty Quinn. I like to go just like the rest. I like my sugar sweet. But jumping queues and making haste just ain't my cup of meat. Everyone's beneath the trees feeding pigeons on a limb. But when Quinn the Eskimo gets here, all the pigeons gonna run to him. Come on without, come on within. You'll not see nothing like the mighty Quinn. Come on. Safe for someone on everyone's toes. But when Quinn the Eskimo gets here, everybody's gonna wanna doze. Come on without, come on within. You'll not see nothing like the mighty Quinn. Come on without, come on within. You'll not see.
With a song that hit number one in the UK and number four on the Cashbox survey in the United States, that was Manfred Mann with The Mighty Quinn.
Making changes that time and taste demand. This is Alt Universe Top 40.
Number three.
Now we are up to our number three from way downtown. And today we're talking about downtown Athens, Georgia. The B-52s formed in Athens in 1976 when vocalist Cindy Wilson, her older brother and guitarist Ricky, keyboardist and vocalist Kate Pearson, original drummer and percussionist Keith Strickland, and cowbell player, poet, and lead vocalist Fred Schneider held an impromptu jam session after sharing a flaming volcano drink at a Chinese restaurant. That fateful jam session led to a contract with Island Records, with distribution handled by Warner Brothers in the United States. Their first two albums were recorded at Compass Point Studios in Nassau, the same place that Robert Palmer recorded. After hearing the first B-52's cassettes, John Lennon pronounced them to be his favorite band and even credited them with having inspired him to come out of retirement and get back into a recording studio.
You're living in your own private Idaho. You're living in your own.
with our three from way downtown. Those were the B-52s and Private Idaho.
Alt-Universe Top 40.
Number 2.
Now we are up to number 2, which means we are going to play a song that we believe should have hit number 1. And in one small part of the world, this song did indeed feel like it hit number 1, albeit more of a conceptual number 1 rather than something charted and published. Several months ago, we played a selection called Won't Make It Hard by a 5-man band from Springfield, Missouri that, back in the 80s, received critical praise and rave reviews for their underground albums and their first-rate club performances. After reading some old quotes from gushing rock writers, I chimed in and personally agreed with all of that praise, pointing out that I had first-hand knowledge of their records and shows. To be even more specific, I can recall a moment in time that, based upon the momentum of one particular track by this legendary group, it seemed as if they were one commercial FM playlist away from taking over the country. The song itself is one of the most unique compositions you will ever hear. When I first heard it, I was unable to immediately peg it, as it is set to a beat that almost sounds like a quick march. The song's lyrics refer to outer space, employing the style of imagery typical of Peter Gabriel or David Bowie. Not only do those impressive lyrics mention outer space, but they actually educate the listener about one of the 5 points, known as Lagrange points, that exist around planets and stars. Written and sung by the amazingly talented Jimmy Frink, here is Fool's Face with the saga of that Lagrange point where a human-occupied space station will someday be parked in orbit, L5.
Man, you've gone astray. Oh, it's not too late. Oh. You've got to stand in line. Future's calling you. Realize you've got to colonize, to spread the seed. A new eternal moon.
L5 forever. L5 forever. L5 forever.
coming in at number two with a song that we think should have reached number one. That was the five-man band Fool's Face and their single about the new eternal moon, L5. Now we are up to our Hall of Perfection track at number one, and it is another one of those songs that fit its moment at the top perfectly, from its lyrics to its melody and its production. Unlike most of our previous number ones, though, this one comes from the 80s. The song's creation began when one of its co-writers, Roland Orzabal, played two chords for co-writer and producer Chris Hughes. Based on nothing more than those two chords, Hughes immediately decided that they were working on a hit song. He and a third co-writer, Ian Stanley, came up with a shuffle beat that Orzabal found alien to synthesizer music, but tried it because it sounded great with those chords. Track that hit number one in Canada and on both the Billboard and Cashbox charts in the United States. That was Tears for Fears and Everybody Wants to Rule the World, a single that Cashbox listed as the number three song of the year, 1985. That's all we have for today. Please be sure to join us next week for another installment of Alt Universe Top 40. In the meantime, to check out our older episodes, simply download the Mixcloud app and follow Alt Universe Top 40. Also, you can follow the links on our website at www.altuniversetop40.com. As we mentioned before, we would love to hear from you. Please send your questions, comments, or reception reports to us in an email addressed to john@altuniversetop40.com. For our website and email addresses, those are all lowercase and 40 is a number. Until we meet again, keep making those good-hearted changes that time and taste demand, and keep on smiling through the static.